Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I am bringing you Strandline Resources. Write this down, ladies and gentlemen. The ASX code is STA, and with me is the Managing Director and CEO, Luke Graham. Who are Strandline Resources? We're going to go right into that, but first up, it's the next world-scale producer, not explorer, ladies and gentlemen, producer of mineral sands. We're going to get into that and lots more. Luke Graham, welcome to Small Caps. Good to see you.
Thank you, Kerry. It's great. It's my pleasure to talk to you, but also give everyone a bit of an update on what Strandline Resources is all about.
Well, yes, and this is the first time you've spoken to the Small Caps audience. So let's start off with who are Strandline? Because mineral sands, what does that mean? And who are, just let's give a brief overview of Strandline before we get into some nitty gritty.
Yeah, so as you said, ASX listed, we have a portfolio of mineral sands assets both in Tanzania and Australia, so the two largest producing jurisdictions of the world in mineral sands space. The flagship project within that portfolio is the Cockburn project here in WA, so just north of Geraldton, which is quite a well-known mineral sands region where Iluka have been operating in and out of for the last 40 years there at Geraldton. And we're on the cusp of a development decision, which will mean that once Cockburn is in production, which is about an 18-month build phase, we'll be a significant producer in mineral sands globally.
You mentioned just then you're on the cusp of, but there's a lot of news, and I need to unpack this bit by bit for our audience out there. I said that you're a world-class producer. We're not in production yet. However, you've got binding sales contracts for 90% of the revenue coming out of the Cockburn project. Can you just expand on that a little bit more and explain what that means for current investors and also for those people that are looking at Strandline Resources as something that they really should take notice of?
Yeah, that's right. So you mentioned that we announced our fifth offtake agreement, our binding offtake agreement with one of the world's largest titanium pigment producers called Venator Materials, based out of America. And they've also got operations in the UK. So we announced that last week. And that, combined with our other offtakes previously announced, that now means that over 90% of our production for the first 5 to 7 years is locked away under take or pay style agreements. So we basically pre-sold our production. Our mineral suite, and this is a real differentiator for the Cockburn project and Strandline, is it's got zircon, which is a critical mineral, and that's used in high-end applications like ceramic tiles, refractories and foundry, chemical sector and things like that. But Cockburn is a ceramic grade, so it goes into that big ceramics manufacturing sector. We've also got high-grade titanium feedstock, so rutile and ilmenite, which goes into titanium dioxide pigment production, so TiO2 pigment production, which goes into paint, paper, ink, plastics, ceramics, those sort of things. So products that are used in everyday life, and the underlying demand of those products really is linked to global growth and urbanisation. So it's quite a mature sector. It's not like lithium, which has really emerged over the last last 5 years, if you like, in its battery minerals. It's just been a really strong mineral sands, a strong, mature sector over decades. And
why are they called critical minerals? I'm just curious as to why there seems to be a focus. Is there a lack of supply on the market at the moment?
Yeah, generally. Critical minerals are identified for their unique elements of being able to, and they're rare around the world. And Australia does have, our fair share of critical minerals, and most major governments around the world are trying to lock down their piece of the supply chain of critical minerals. And Australia is a dominant producer of critical minerals. They're vital to emerging economies, but also the major economies around the world for their use.
You said before that the area that you're in, and a lot of people will know the name Iluka. They've been around for a long, long time. So you're in that general area. Luke, what differentiates Strandline Resources from some of the other projects, the other mineral sands producers out there?
Yeah, so look, the Cockburn project has a really rich, heavy mineral assemblage. So it's biased towards the high value minerals. So zircon and rutile, and our ilmenite is also a chloride grade ilmenite. So when you combine those, the basket price of the Cockburn project is one of the richest basket prices in the world, which is fantastic. So really the key focus is to extract that, those minerals efficiently. Yeah. And our mine will be on world standards, a significant mine in terms of our volume that we are mining at, and allows us to really drive those operating efficiencies to then maximize our revenue to cost ratio. And right now, underpinned by our definitive feasibility study, which we announced in mid last year, our mine sits at what was disclosed in that from a revenue to cost ratio of 2.4:1. So that puts us on a C1 cash cost basis. So that puts us really firmly in the best part of that revenue to cost curve globally in our view. So that makes the project bankable in terms of revenue to cost and that financial metric, and really well positioned to be funded into development.
Yep. That leads me quite nicely into, because I want to talk some numbers here. It's quite exciting at the moment because recently you've announced that the Commonwealth Government has got this now. I want to make sure I get this right, Luke. The Northern Australian Infrastructure Facility, and commonly known or more endearingly known as NAIF, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm just going to call it NAIF, the Northern Australia Infrastructure Facility, NAIF. They're going to give you, or loan you, I should say, $150 million. Now, overall, the funding that you need is about 260 mil. But that's correct. A big chunk coming from NAIF to underpin the funding. How did that come about? And what does that mean? And when did it come about? What does that mean for the ongoing, I guess, the strength of this particular project?
Look, the NAIF facility is a real enabler for the project because it is, as you mentioned, it's the major share, a significant portion of our development capital. We've been working with NAIF for over 2 years now through really extensive due diligence, technical, legal, tax and accounting due diligence, everything that you would expect that a senior lender would have to do on the project. And NAIF they don't cut any corners, obviously, being the government agency. Now, what their mandate, and I won't say all the key drivers of their mandate, but they're looking at stimulating and attracting growth in the northern part of Australia, but identifying strategic projects. And we just fit in geographically into that northern part of Australia, just north of Geraldton there. But they're looking for long life strategic assets that add significant public benefit. And obviously we've had to do independent cost benefit analysis to tick that box of theirs. They're looking for strong Indigenous engagement strategies associated with the project. So good opportunities for employment and enterprise associated with this. And we have about 300 jobs through construction, on average direct jobs, about 150 through the mine. Our mine is 22 and a half years of all reserves. So it's multi-decade.
Oh, okay. Yep. So we're not talking five, we're talking 22 and a half years.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly right. Plus there's another 15 to 17 years of production targets that are already under JORC resources immediately to the north and along strike of our deposit. So when NAIF are looking at this project and some of our other stakeholders, including our off-takers, which I mentioned, they're looking at the longevity of this project. They see it as a generational project, the next 40 years essentially. And that's why it's so exciting for Strandline shareholders, because we're sitting on a tier one asset that's about to get funded and go into development in a tier one mining jurisdiction with a good lender, the best lender I could possibly ask for, being the Commonwealth Government as a major, and fantastic offtake partners, top shelf offtake partners across. One of the key things with Cockburn, and I mentioned the minerals, zircon and titanium, but we have a really well-balanced and diversified offtake strategy. We are selling our zircon into Europe. We are selling some of our minerals into China, about 25% of our revenue stream into China, who's that major consumer of industrial minerals, as we know. And we're selling the balance of it into the Americas. So globally, which is quite rare these days, because a lot of projects just go into China or Asia as the big consumer, but we've got this really strong balance across those major mineral sands consumption jurisdictions. And the only reason we've got that, Kerry, is because the quality of our mineral differentiates.
And I think that's great as well. It's always good, I think. You know, I'm looking at, you've flown under the radar, Luke Graham. I want to know how come I didn't know more about it, because it's fascinating, because binding sales contracts, you've got that Commonwealth government funding. And there's a lot going on here. There's so much to unpack today. I'm going to have to get you back again. But I did mention that the funding is about 260 mil. You've got 150 from the Commonwealth government. Have you got the other, where are you with the rest of the funding? Because I want to talk timelines and I want to talk production and what our investors and potential investors can hope to see.
So just a little, the NAIF funding is split up into two tranches. It's 130 for the core infrastructure, which applies against that 260 million. Okay, so basically half of it is in the NAIF funding. There's another $20 million tranche for a potential northern access road to more directly link with the Denham community, an important local community to the project, which NAIF and Strandline are committed to doing over time. So that's great. The structure with the NAIF facility as a senior lender, we are working with them to secure a commercial debt tranche that sits alongside them. So part of their mandate is to enable other debt providers and financiers into the project, and that's exactly what they're doing. So currently right now, we are structuring a commercial debt tranche, and once that gets announced to the market, I guess, and hopefully really soon, that will pave the way to be fully funded pretty swiftly, and then off we go. So this the timing for me to introduce the project to small caps audience is deliberate. We are on this cusp of this transformational change for Strandline Resources. We have gone under the radar. You know, the last 4 years that I've been in the company, we've just been building substance in this company. We've been making sure that the feasibility study is done at the highest possible level. We've attracted the right offtake partners, as I said. The last 12 months, we've been working on major contracts. And if you've been following our announcements, some of your audience may have been following our announcements over the last 6 months, but we've just been ticking off a series and announcing a series of preferred contracts. One of them was today. We announced the power supply agreement, which is build, own, operate, maintain of the site's power station.
Well, and let's talk about that, because that's with Contract Power Australia. And before we do, is it a fairly remote site? Because I'm trying to picture in my mind Coburn, WA, Northern Australia. Is it fly in, fly out? What's the infrastructure like? Do you have to build the roads, the infrastructure, blah, blah, blah? Because, yes, you did announce Contract Power Australia. Let's unpack that. But also, if you could, just before you do, where are you? Middle of nowhere?
We are. We happen to be on our pastoral lease. The first 21 years is on Strandline's pastoral lease just north of Geraldton. So it's 250 kilometres north of Geraldton. Now, Geraldton is... we really benefit. And the reason our capital cost is so low, if you like, or capital efficient, is because we benefit from the port facilities and the main access road called the Northwest Coastal Highway that runs from Geraldton straight up past our deposit, which is already gazetted for haulage of product to the Geraldton port. So we benefit from that infrastructure. Just before Christmas, we announced a binding agreement for 15 years with the Midwest Ports, who are the operator of the Geraldton Port, to export our mineral for the first 15 years of its production. So that was a really good achievement. So yeah, we're in Shark Bay. Denham's probably the closest community, and it's a very touristy sort of area up there. But if you can just imagine 30 kilometres of sand dune, and about 3 kilometres wide. Not on the coast, on an old traditional coast inland. Right. And what we do is we're just progressively mining that, and then we backfill the sand. that we're that's non-valuable, and then we fully rehabilitate. So quite an environment.
So for all those people out there going, oh my gosh, he's ruining the coastline. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's inland. It's from centuries ago when there was water out there, but it is left behind this very rich mineral sands deposit, which is great.
Yeah, but that's right.
It's not coastline.
No, it's not coastline, not at all. But fully rehabilitate is, and that's a proven mining method, and you know, really environment. There's no toxic elements or toxic traces in our deposits. It's really quite a low environmental footprint for mineral sands. Gravity separation, heavy minerals go one way, the light minerals, which are non-valuable, go the other way. We send all the light minerals back into the deposit, which is about 98% of our volume in our case, goes back into the ground, and then we just fully rehabilitate it. So, progressively.
But I wouldn't know that you were there. But given the fact that you're there and you've made this announcement with Contract Power Australia, let's talk about what that is, what it looks like. And you were telling me off camera that they're going to be using solar and other renewable styles. So if you could just talk us through that.
Yeah, so we got a lot of natural resources up there. We've got a lot of sun, month in, month out, and also wind. So Contract Power's solution, it's a very advanced modern solution there. We're integrating the low-cost LNG natural gas that we have here in WA, which will be supplied to the site and stored there with renewable technology. So the latest in renewable technology around solar farm and battery technology, which integrates that solution in. And we have up front at the start of our project, which is pretty awesome, we have 30% of our power, which is renewable energy.
Wow.
And then over time, Contract Power and us, because this is such a long mine life, as I mentioned, we'll be looking at the emerging technologies in wind turbines and generation, and we can upsize that renewable penetration to potentially 50 to 60% renewable, which is what you would what the whole industry, I guess, is aspirationally targeting to for renewable penetration, and we have our line of sight to that pretty early in our project over time, you know. But first things first, let's get into construction. Let's get this built using conventional technologies. But
this might be a really dumb question, but, you know, Contract Power Australia, so they're building it. You're not paying for it. Do they see this as... Just explain that to me. I'm trying to get my head around this, Luke.
So we've been working with Contract Power, and obviously we tendered this package of work as well through our procurement strategies. But we've selected them because they're a decent sized entity. They're owned by the Pacific Energy Group, and they take a view on the project and the quality of the project, the quality of the asset, the long life, and they are funding that infrastructure on their balance sheet. Designing, constructing, operating, maintaining, and then it's like over the fence, as they call it in the power world, and we just consume the power and we pay for what we consume over that course of. But the power plant has been sized and designed specific to our application.
Wow! So they're going to size it, and it's going to be specific for you guys. But you don't have to pay for the construction and the build. But when the time comes to flick that light on, metaphorically, that you've got the power coming in. So when does that construction begin?
Yeah, so as soon as we hit final investment decision, so when we've got that commercial debt tranche sitting alongside NAIF, which is that key catalyst that we're all, and if you've got shareholders listening, that's what they're hanging out for, and I know because I am as well. So once we get that locked away, it's an 18-month build phase, which is what you would expect for a major project of this nature. And then it's straight into ramping up production thereafter. And I mean,
is that the final bit of the puzzle? That the final bit of the puzzle is just a little bit more funding,
correct,
then you're ready to get going.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, and you know what? We've spent a significant amount of time and money to get to this point. As you can imagine, to get a project bankable and attract the quality of all across those key work streams that you know, it was first discovered 20 years ago, this project. So it's been a journey to get this project really well defined, to optimize it from the mining to the market, to make sure we've got the right solution for the project. And what's interesting right now is we're getting pulled forward into production. Like the end users, we're not trying to, as a junior mining company, trying to push this project and say, here it is, consumers, please take it. It's the opposite. We're getting pulled forward by the end users. They need this project to come on. There's been a lack of capital investment, like in a lot of commodities over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And therefore there's this big supply deficit.
All right, well, we're running out of time. What I'm going to ask you, Luke, is those current shareholders, future shareholders, possible investors, what would you say to them about why right now? Well, I think right now is a great time to invest because you've just ticked so many boxes, including DFS is done, half the funding's done. Like there's a lot of stuff that you've got done. But what would you say to finish up our interview to investors out there right now?
I think there's just deep value in Strandline Resources. So our market cap right now is a fraction of our net present value of our definitive feasibility study. So there's just in that significant upside. We're well followed and researched by independent experts. You know, they've got 52 cent price targets on us, 54 cent price targets on us, and we're sitting here today trading at say 25 cents or something. So that, and that's just the very short term price target projections of these independents. So a key de-risking catalyst, there's probably one domino to push over, and that's this fully funded solution that we have a line of sight to very soon, hopefully, and that'll pave the way for this project to be commercialized and Strandline to make that transformational change into producer, which we've been working so hard to achieve over the years. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Luke, all I can say to you is I'm going to get you back on again once that final domino has been knocked out of the park. Congratulations to you, Strandline Resources, ladies and gentlemen, ASX code STA. We're going to hear a lot more from them in the future. Luke Graham, Managing Director and CEO, thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Thank you, Kerry. Appreciate it.